Tonight, January 3rd, the year 2003, the Dhamma talk that will be delivered at this meditation retreat will be on the four conditions that is needed to become a stream winner, and also 24 types of stream winners. Now, what are the conditions that are needed to become a stream winner? Number one, the meditator must have the opportunity to meet the teacher who will give instructions on meditation, that is, who can deliver a discourse on the sublime Dhamma. Number two, that meditator or yogi must have the opportunity to listen to that Dhamma discourse, that is, discourse on sublime Dhamma. And number three, the yogi must pay wise attention. That wise attention in Pali is known as Yoniso Manasikara. And number four, the yogi must practice the Dhamma that is the one that is adaptable to the knowledge of the path Megha and the knowledge of Rushin Pala. These are the four conditions that are needed for a practicing yogi or practicing meditator to become a stream winner or a sotapanna. Now, it means to say that if we go back to number one, the yogi must have the opportunity to listen to the sublime Dhamma from a meditation teacher. So the yogi must always take refuge in that kind of teacher. And number two, the yogi must have the opportunity to listen to that sublime Dhamma. Searo said that now you have met, you are now very, you can now take refuge in a meditation teacher who can give you a good sublime Dhamma, and also you are having the chance to listen to it. Number three is that you must have, that is, you must pay wise attention. You must pay wise attention means you must be able to keep in mind so that you are always accumulating wholesome merits. For example, There can be pleasant objects and unpleasant objects that you may have to face each day. Since you get up from the bed in the morning, for example, say you face a pleasant object. When you face a pleasant object, you must be able to reflect so that you can only accumulate the wholesome merits, and not the unwholesome merits. How can you do it? Now, if you are facing the pleasant sights, if you become attached to it, if you feel happy and get attached to it, it means you are accumulating lobha, unwholesome merits. That is, greed will be with you. Now, how are you going to reflect so that you can only accumulate the wholesome merits? You must reflect it this way. Well, now I have the opportunity to face the pleasant objects because in the past existences, I had done good deeds. That's why now I have the opportunity to face the pleasant object. And also, in this present existence, I must do more good deeds so that I can accumulate more wholesome merits and may get the consequence of realizing the Nibbana. That's the way you should reflect. It says that, it can be said that, because it was good before, it is good now. If it is good now, it will be good in the future. Now, in case you have to face the unpleasant object, if you do not pay wise attention, what will happen is that you will foster anger and you will foster grief. If you either foster anger or grief, you will be accumulating unwholesome merits. So in order to accumulate wholesome merits, when you have to face the unpleasant object, you will reflect it this way. Well, things are not going well at present because I must have done something bad in the past. Now, if I go on doing good deeds now, I'll be able to enjoy the consequence of this good deeds in future. If you reflect it that way, not only that you feel comfortable, you will also be accumulating wholesome merits. Thus, in order to gain the upper hand over the past deeds, which were not good ones, you have to do more good deeds in this existence. Thus, if you reflect, as it has been told to you, either when you have to face the pleasant sights or unpleasant sights, if you pay wise attention, then you will be accumulating wholesome merits. That is one of the conditions for the yogi to become a stream winner. Now we come to number four. The yogi must practice meditation which is adaptable to the knowledge of the path, mega, and the knowledge of fruition, phala. Now you have done quite a bit of dana, good deeds, and sila, good deeds. That is, you have done the act of charity, and also you had kept the morality or the precepts. And also, what you must do is, you must practice meditation, which is adaptable to the path and fruition knowledges. So what is that meditation? It is the Vipassana meditation that you are practicing now by means of the four foundations of mindfulness and practicing it in the correct and the right way. Now, for example, you are practicing in accordance to the methods given by our benefactor, Mahasi Siaro. For example, in your sitting meditation, you will be noting the rising of the abdomen, the falling of the abdomen, the sitting, and the touching. And also, in the walking meditation, you will be doing or noting lifting, pushing forwards, and dropping. And also, in your noting of the daily activities or general details notings, you will be noting the actions in standing, sitting, bending, flexing, handling, and taking, etc. Now, while you are meditating, rising, falling, sitting, and touching, at the beginning, you do not experience anything significant. After about 2 or 3 days, you begin to see something in your meditation. That is, when you note rising, you will realize, you will see that rising belongs to one process, and the noting mind that notes the rising belongs to another process. Similarly, when you note falling, you will notice that falling behavior belongs to one process, and the noting mind that notes the falling behavior belongs to another process. Similarly, when you note sitting, the sitting behavior belongs to one process, while the noting mind that notes the sitting behavior belongs to another process. And similarly, when you note the touching behavior, you will notice that the touching behavior belongs to one process, and the noting mind that notes the touching behavior belongs to another process. And you know the difference, or you can see analytically. These behaviors, rising, falling, sitting and touching, are not conscious of the object. Therefore, they are of the nature of matter or the nature of physicality. Now the noting mind that keeps on noting these behaviors is conscious of the object, therefore it is of the nature of mind or the mentality. Now you begin to know that in this body aggregate there is nothing but the nature of materiality and the nature of mentality, or the nature of matter and the nature of mind. Though you use the word I, you are using it in the conventional way so that other people can understand when you try to say something. Actually, there is no I. That means you had abandoned the ego illusion or the personality belief. And this very thing is the best foundation for you to become a stream winner. Knowing the nature of mind and the nature of matter constitutes the analytical knowledge of mind and matter. That is, you had reached or you had attained this knowledge, namely the analytical knowledge of mind and matter, or in Pali, Nama Rupa Brichida. Now when you are noting rising, try to ignore the material form of your body, your head and the limbs. Because the material form of the body and the limbs and the head belongs to what is known as the conceptual category. They are just concepts. Concepts are not for Vipassana meditation, so ignore them. So what are you going to note? What are you going to focus your mind upon? When you are noting rising, you will focus that inside your abdomen there is a kind of tenseness and stiffness increasing, and that's nature. You focus and note. And note that as rising, rising. That is, you note the nature of what is happening in your abdomen. You don't note the form of your abdomen. Here you note the nature, because the nature is the reality. Vipassana meditation is to note the reality and not to note the concepts. Similarly, when you note falling, as you exhale the air, you will notice that your abdomen begins to contract and there is a movement of air inside and the pressure becomes less and less. And note that nature. That is the reality. Focus on that nature and note it. Also, when you are doing the sitting, ignore the material form of your body, your head and your legs, or your limbs. Because, as I had already told you, the material form is not for Vipassana meditation, because the material form is a concept. Now, when you sit down, the element of air associated with your mind, that is, associated with the intention to make you sit down, it pushes and you have the stiffness in your body as you sit down. That stiffness in your body, which is a reality, which is the reality, you should focus and note. Also, when you are noting touching, ignore your material form of the body, the head and the limbs. What you shall note is the nature of what is happening at your bottom. When your bottom touches the floor, you will feel the hardness and you will feel the warmness. That hardness and the warmness, each one of them is a reality. So you focus your mind on it and note it. The hardness has the property of the earth, element of earth. The warmness has the property of heat or the element of heat. So, in doing vipassana meditation, you ignore the concepts and actually note the reality. Now you will ask, where is the reality? Mostly, the reality is lay hidden in the concepts, or it is latent in the concepts. But now you know this reality. The concept is your abdomen, and this reality is, the concept is in your material form, and the reality now is, for example, in sitting, the reality now is the hardness that you experience and the warmness that you experience. So whether you experience hardness or softness, warmness or coolness, or the motion, they all are known as realities. But can you see your reality with your own eyes? No, you cannot see it with your own eyes, but it is there. Only when you can abandon, only if you can ignore the concepts and note the reality, you will have a quick experiencing of the nature, quick progress of insight, and if deserving, you will realize the Noble Dhamma. If you are not contemplating or noting the reality, and if you are just noting the concepts, your progress in meditation will be very, very slow. The Vipassana meditating yogis used to say that they would like to practice genuine Vipassana meditation. So what is genuine Vipassana meditation? The genuine Vipassana meditation is that when you note, you should note right at the present moment of each stage of whatever is happening. And you should note the reality, and also you should incline your mind towards the phenomena of passing away or the phenomena of dissolution. This part is very important, so I will repeat it for you. What is genuine Vipassana? That is, you have to note right at the present moment when the phenomena is arising, and you should note only the reality and not the concept, and you should incline your mind towards the phenomena of passing away or the phenomena of dissolution. So, what do you note in Vipassana? In Vipassana, the object is the paramattha object. The object must be the reality. And how do you note? You note only its impermanence. See, you note the reality and you note the nature of its impermanence. These are two very important things. Now, in noting rising, the tenseness and the increase in pressure say that the object is the reality. Also, in falling, you see that there is a movement of air inside, and the pressure gets lesser and lesser. That nature you should note. And also, you should note the passing away of the phenomena. For example, when you are noting rising, the rising ends at the end of rising. It does not go into the beginning of the next falling. So what happened to that rising? That rising passes away at the end of rising. So you incline your mind towards that passing away phenomena. Now in samatha or tranquility meditation, it is different from vipassana meditation. In tranquility meditation or samatha meditation, the object is the concept. And also, when you do the noting, you note by inclining your mind towards the thing being permanent. For example, when one is contemplating the earth kasina, you take a small patch of some dust or some earth about the size of a small tree. You look at it all the time and know that as earth, or dust. And as your concentration becomes very strong, even while you keep your eyes closed, in your mind eyes you will see that patch of earth, which is about the size of the tree. And if you continue practicing, even though your eyes are closed, you will see that patch of dust clearer than when it was in the actual condition. So, in samatha meditation or in tranquility meditation, the object is the concept, and you note to see that it is permanent. So these are the difference between samatha meditation and the vipassana meditation. Now let us go back to the rising and falling. If you go on noting, if you're meditating, and when your concentration becomes more powerful, and if you are contemplating the material form of your abdomen, what will happen? It will be like observing or noting the concepts. You will be seeing it continuously. You will see the rising continuously with the falling. So as if rising and falling are continuous, because you are looking not at the nature in your abdomen, but you are looking at the material form of your abdomen. If you do it that way, it will be something like samatha meditation or tranquility meditation. You will begin to think that the falling follows the rising, and next rising follows the falling, and so on. And you will think that rising and falling are permanent. If you are doing that way, you will be doing something like tranquility meditation, and as a result, you will have no progress of insights. Therefore, in vipassana meditation, try to ignore the material form as much as possible and only focus on the nature of what is happening, which is just the reality. Now, in your noting, in your practicing of vipassana meditation, every time you note the eight constituents of the path, eight megenga, are always getting involved in your noting. So while you are noting, and if your knowledge progresses, that is, if you have the progress of insight, and as soon as you realize the Four Noble Truths, you accomplish the task of finishing the comprehension of these four Noble Truths. Now, what are the Four Noble Truths? One is suffering, the other is origin of suffering, number three is the path, and number four is Nirodha, that is final extinction. So what you have to do is every day you note rising of your abdomen, these eight constituents of the path are getting involved all the time. So what are the eight constituents of the path? Eight Magginga. It has three groups. Sila group, that is morality group. It has three constituents. And Samadhi group or concentration group, it has three constituents. The last one is the Penya group or the wisdom group. It has two constituents. So what do you have in the morality group? You have Samavasa, Samakamanta, and Samajiva. That is right speech, right action, and right livelihood. It's already in your noting of the rising of your abdomen. Because even before you do the practicing of Vipassana meditation, you observe the nine precepts. In the nine precepts, you already had that Sila Magginga, that is the Sila group or the three constituents. That is, you refrain from doing bad things, either verbally or physically. Let alone doing it physically, you can't even have time to do it in your mind, because you are practicing Vipassana meditation, you are doing noting all the time, and bad things cannot come into your mind at any time, because there is no gap. Then we come to another one, that is, after Sila group, you have a Samadhi group, the concentration group. You have three constituents. What are these three constituents? Samavayama, right effort, Samasati, right mindfulness, and Samasamadhi, right concentration. Now, while you are noting rising, in order to be able to note, you have to put effort. That is the right effort. After you have put the efforts, and when the phenomena appears, that is, phenomena means that when the rising appears, you have to set your mind, focus on it, and straight away you got to note it. That means mindfulness. So after right effort, you have right mindfulness. When you go on noting with right mindfulness, You will keep your mind still and stable from the beginning of the rising to the end of the rising, at least momentarily. Your mind is fixed, at least momentarily. That is concentration, sama samadhi. If you don't have this concentration, you cannot note. Now you have the third group. The third group is the right thoughts and the right view. That is sama sankappa and sama ditthi. How do you get it? When you put your mind right on the falling, right on the rising of your abdomen, you're putting your mind on it, right on it. That means right thoughts. And then after that, you begin to see, when you are meditating, as you begin to see, what happens is that you get the right view. What do you see in your meditation? You see something like discerning mind and matter. You see cause and effect and so on. When you see these things, when you comprehend these things, it becomes the right view. So all eight megingas or eight constituents of the path or constituents of the mega, now in one instant you have finished contemplating it. So you must know that you have finished contemplating the path, the mega. And now you also know the suffering by means of discerning. Now in your physical body, you are noting the rising. The physical body, you see the rising, and that rising is known as dukkha, the noble truth. The noble truth of suffering due to matter. And you are noting mine. It is the noble truth of suffering due to the mind. Now, when there is, while you have the rising phenomena, and when you are noting it, the greed or craving or samudaya, that is the origin of suffering, has no chance to appear. That means you have abandoned the origin of suffering. So how many have you done? What have you done? The first thing is you contemplate the path. The second thing is you know the suffering by discerning. And the third thing now is you are trying to abandon the origin of suffering. What is the origin of suffering? Greed, craving. Now we come to the fourth point. When the greed or craving does not have the chance to arise, that is, it ceases to exist for a moment or momentarily. It ceases to exist. When greed or craving ceases to exist, then the clinging ceases to exist, because clinging comes due to greed and craving. When the clinging ceases to exist, your karma, your deeds cease to exist as well. because karma appears due to clinging. When karma ceases to exist, your existence ceases to exist. You will not be born again. If your existence ceases to exist, that means the aging, the sickness, and death cease to exist. If aging, sickness, death cease to exist, then you enjoy the bliss of peace, extinction. You realize it. So first, what did you do? You tried to contemplate the eight constituents of the path. That is contemplation. Then you know by discerning the suffering, the noble truth of suffering. Now after contemplation, knowing means comprehension. Now number one is contemplation, number two is comprehension. And then number three, you abandon the origin of suffering. What is the origin of suffering? Greed or craving. Now you have contemplation, comprehension, and abandoning. And after abandoning, where do you go? You realize the peace and extinction, because everything ceases to exist. So that is realization. So four of them. First you contemplate, then you comprehend, then you abandon, then you realize. Now if I ask you a question, will you answer? I don't know. What do you contemplate? I'll repeat again. You contemplate the path. So what do you comprehend? You comprehend the suffering. The path is mega, suffering is dukkha. So what do you abandon? You abandon the greed, the craving. So what do you realize? Of course, the bliss of Nibbana, the last thing, extinction. Now, if your insight progresses, and when you know, when you realize the Four Noble Truths, you will realize, the first thing you will realize is the knowledge of the path and fruition of a stream winner. So if you become a stream winner, the door to the lower woeful state is closed perpetually. At most, after seven existences, you will realize the Nibbana in full. Therefore, Sierra said, try to the best of your mental and physical ability in practicing this Vipassana meditation. So the talk on four conditions has been complete. Now I will talk about the 24 kinds of extreme winner. The first three kinds is known as Satyat Kattu Paramat Sotapana. That is, among the three kinds of the first type, one kind will realize Nibbana after seven existences. And the second type will realize Nibbana after two existences, or three existences, or four existences, or five existences, or six existences. The last one will realize the Nibbana in one existence. So The first one is at most 7 existence. The second one is 2 to 6 existence, and the third one is only 1 existence. Therefore, by means of, in terms of existence, there are 3 types. Now we come to, in terms of the leading, there is 2 types. Whether you are led by sada, conviction, or led by penya, wisdom. These are 2 types. Some of the yogis are led by conviction or faith, and some are led by wisdom. For those who are led by wisdom or knowledge, while noting rising, falling, sitting and touching, they themselves comprehend and can discern mind and matter. That is, while noting rising, they know that rising behavior belongs to one process, the noting mind belongs to another process. While they are noting falling, they know that falling behavior belongs to one process and the noting mind belongs to another process. And also when they note sitting, sitting behavior belongs to one process and the noting mind belongs to another process. Similarly, when they note touching, they see that touching behavior belongs to one process and the noting mind belongs to another process. That is, they know it by themselves because they had wisdom, or I should say their practicing is led by wisdom or led by knowledge. They also know that rising, falling, sitting and touching are not conscious of the object, therefore it is of the nature of materiality. And the noting mind that notes these behaviors are conscious of the object, therefore they are of the nature of mentality, and so on. Thus, these yogis who are led by wisdom can know these things by themselves. For example, there was a yogi who has never been close to these vocabularies, never heard of these vocabularies. But that yogi was led by led by wisdom in his meditation. So when he has to report to the meditation teacher at the interview, he came and said, "Venerable sir, at the beginning, there is only one person in meditation. Afterwards, there are 2 persons." He tried to say that the process of rising, falling, sitting and touching is happening in one person, while another person is noting that rising, falling, sitting and touching. Of course, as he doesn't know the vocabulary, he cannot say whether the one is of the nature of matter and another is of the nature of the mind. But this is the kind of person, even though he is not well versed in the vocabulary, he is led by wisdom or knowledge in his meditation. And another type of person who is led by conviction or faith, that yogi will report to the meditation master, "Oh, my noting is going well." But he doesn't know why it is going well. So when he had the Dhamma talk given by the venerable meditation master, things like in rising, rising behavior is one process, maneuvering mind is another process, and in falling too, falling is one process, and the noting mind is another process. In sitting as well, sitting is one process, and noting mind is another process. In touching also, touching behavior is one process, and noting mind is another process. When he had the Dhamma talk, or the discourse given by his meditation teacher, he begins to realize it. So, don't get discouraged even if you don't know, because you will know when you listen to the Dhamma talk. So the first kind is led by wisdom, the second kind is led by faith. He cannot know it by himself and he cannot decide it by himself. But he knew what's happening to him when he listened to the Dhamma talk. So how many do I have now? The first one is, in terms of existence, there are three types. Now, in terms of this leading in practice, we got two. And now, in terms of practice, we got four. And this is also very interesting. There are meditators in any one of the four groups. In the first group, we call Dukkha Paribada Danda Benya. That is, in Vipassana meditation, the practice is very pleasant. The practice is very unpleasant. And the progress is very slow. But that kind of person can also become a stream winner. I'll repeat again. Number one, very unpleasant in practice and very slow in progress. Nothing is good. But still, that person can become a stream winner. Number two, practicing is not pleasant, but progress of insight is good. That kind of person can also In number two, the practice is not pleasant, but the comprehension of Dhamma or progress is good. In the third category, the practice is pleasant, but the progress is slow, or comprehension of Dhamma is slow. That kind of person can also become a stream winner. The fourth type, the best one, practice is pleasant and comprehension is quick. So you have number one, difficult practice, slow comprehension. Number two, difficult practice, quick comprehension. Number three, pleasant practice, slow comprehension, or difficult comprehension. And number four, pleasant practice, quick comprehension. So you can decide for yourself in which category you belong to. But it doesn't matter in which category you belong to. Of course, you can become a stream winner if deserving. Now let us go back to number one. In number one, we said that the practice is unpleasant and also the comprehension of Dhamma is slow. There is a reason. That kind of person has not practiced both the Samatha and Vipassana meditation in their past existences, in his or her past existence. Number two, the practice is unpleasant, but the progress of comprehension of Dhamma is quick. That kind of person has not practiced Samatha, but has practiced Vipassana in his or her past existence. And we come to number three. Pleasant practice, but slow comprehension. This kind of person had practiced Samatha, but not Vipassana meditation in his or her past existence. Now we come to number four. Pleasant practice and quick comprehension. So Searo said, everybody wants to belong to this fourth category. So you can decide for yourself and by yourself in which category you belong to. Whether you understand what I had said, let me ask you a question. Now, number one, unpleasant practice and slow comprehension. What have they done in their previous existences? No answer means you don't have it clearly. You can see it. That is, if you have, if the practice is unpleasant and if the progress is slow, that means you have done neither Samatha or Vipassana meditation. And if the practice is unpleasant and the progress is quick, that means you had not done Samatha, but you had done Vipassana. If the practice is pleasant and the comprehension is slow, that means you had done Samatha, but not Vipassana. If the practice is pleasant and the comprehension is quick, you had done both of them in your past existences. Then you can decide it for yourself and by yourself. Now, even if you belong to the first category, that is unpleasant practice and slow comprehension, do not get discouraged or do not get depressed. What you have to do is, you may be having pains and unpleasant feelings in your meditation. You got to be patient. Only if you are patient, you can build up concentration, and only if you can build up concentration, you can realize, you can have the Vipassana knowledge, and only if you can establish Vipassana knowledge, you can realize the noble Dhamma that you have been aspiring for. So, first, you can now decide in which category you are in. And the best thing is, when you practice real hard. Don't think about anything. Just go on practicing with noting being continuous all the way. If you do it that way, you can realize Nibbana, you can realize the Noble Dhamma and Nibbana. Searo says that if you don't do it that way, if you just go on praying that you want to realize the knowledge of path, knowledge of fruition and nibbana, the only thing you will get is not the things that you ask for. The only thing you will get is the tiredness in your mouth or something like that, Sierra said. So you have listened to this and practice accordingly, and may you be able to realize the noble Dhamma, all the suffering-free Nibbana that you have been aspiring for, by practicing with ease and comprehending the Dhamma very quickly. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.